Welcome to New Testament Topics with Brother Elliot Maloney, a Benedictine monk and professor of New Testament Studies at St. Vincent's Seminary, La Trobe, Pennsylvania.
Hello, this is Brother Elliot, and in an earlier podcast, another podcast, we introduced the concept of the Holy Spirit in St. Paul within the parameters of God's plan for salvation history. We have defined the Spirit in St. Paul and noted a variety of uses that he makes of the word Spirit, pneuma, remembering that it has a very strong action nature, the Greek word pneuma. It acts like a motion, like the air rushing. We could say in English a pneumatic drill, an air hammer, something powerful because of air. Now we can begin to unpack some of Paul's teaching on this mysterious aspect of God's overall and own person. Now remember, the Spirit can be the Holy Spirit in Paul. It can be paired up with Father and Son in a kind of triadic. It's probably not like the Holy Trinity quite yet in Paul's thinking. That maybe took a little bit more time in the church to develop. Certainly the way we think of the Spirit today as this third person of the Blessed Trinity took about a couple centuries, actually, to develop. Also, we should note that about five times, Paul identifies the Spirit with the risen Christ. I mean, think about that. The risen Christ, of course, is Spirit now, too. This shows that in Christ's present heavenly and divine level of being, Jesus uniquely possesses God's Spirit as his own and is at the same time present to us believers in much the same way as when the indwelling of the Spirit is spoken about. So, for example, Paul says famously in Romans chapter 8, "You are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, then the human spirit is alive because of righteousness." Now there you have it. That's Romans 8, 9, and 10. Chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Christ dwelling in you, and then the human spirit. Okay? Now, so let's try to go through some of these and explain. You can see that Paul does not make a clear distinction between the indwelling of the Spirit in us and our presence dwelling together in the body of Christ as the body of the risen Christ. I think that perhaps we can feel the Spirit as a surge of power that occurs from time to time at special moments in our life, okay, so that we can say the indwelling of the Spirit is a constant thing, but our experience of the Spirit can be this heightened awareness, feeling, but it's more than feeling. It's also a cognitive awareness, too. Whereas being in Christ, our existence in Christ as a member of the body of Christ, kind of gets at the constant state of peace and security that we know as believers. Yeah, even when we're not aware of it, that's one of the benefits of believing as a Christian, of putting on Christ, as we say, of being adopted as a child of God, of all of these things. Another way of saying that is the indwelling of the Spirit. But the overall peace and security that a Christian has, knowing that he or she is in the hands of God. Well, let's make a little definition now here. Let's try to broaden our understanding. For my teacher, Joseph Fitzmyer, the famous Pauline scholar, the Spirit in Paul is, and I quote, is a way of expressing the dynamic influence of God's presence to justified Christians. In other words, you have to be in the right relationship because of your faith, okay? Influence of God's presence to justified Christians. He continues, the manifestation of God's love for them. So Spirit is also the way we understand, with the way we perceive God's love for us. And then finally, he continues, and the powerful source of their new life in Christ. The source of the new life in Christ. It's like the electricity in our motor. Now, at the same time, we should understand that being in the Spirit or being indwelt by the Spirit is a new mode of being, and it is actually our cooperation, our working with the risen Christ himself, with his dynamic and effective presence. So the presence of the risen Christ we can speak of. We can speak of the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. What's the difference? Just, it's the same reality. There's only one God. There's only one God, the Father, who provides, has provided the Son for us and raised the Son so that the Son's presence can be with us always, but it is a spiritual presence. Okay, so this is the mystery of the Trinity is very complex, of course. The idea of it's just three ways of talking about different aspects of God. Of course, the Son is that aspect of God that has been joined to a real human being, Jesus Christ, and powers that human being and influences that human being to the perfection of, in some way, the way God is supposed to work in our life. We could go even further and say that love, which is the ultimate truth about God the Father, love is poured out in the Spirit in the life and the person of Jesus Christ. So if we wanted to see how God's love takes effect best, look to Jesus. God's Son, in turn, shares that love with the faith community in the Spirit that is now perfectly his. It's the Spirit of Christ, returning the gift to the Father, the gift of God's love to us, returning that to the Father as filled out and ever more completed by the faithful lives of us, of the believing community. See, with the gift of God's Spirit come, therefore, all the benefits of Christ's saving life and death. So, reconciliation, justification, sanctification, transformation to become a new creature, all of these benefits come to us with the guarantee of our own resurrection. With the Spirit, a Christian is freed from both legalism and license, from both being too contained by the law, but also from some kind of unproductive throwing away of all guidance freed from both legalism and license, to live a life of truth and glory in Christ. Yeah, the glory is not triumphalism, but there is a transforming power that happens to us, but it is grounded in our own recognition of weakness. So Paul says, he boasts of weakness. Remember his thorn in the flesh that he asked to be taken away, and God says, my grace, the Lord Jesus says to him, my grace is sufficient. That boasting that he weak of his weakness is the true and valid sign of a true vocation. Only knowing that it's not our own power, only that knowledge can guarantee that it really is the power of Christ in us. Thus, in the Spirit, true freedom comes with obedience. Freedom comes with obedience. Freedom does not come with disobedience. Chaos comes from disobedience. The obedience of faith is what we are created for, and when we do what we are created for, voila, we are fulfilled as who we are, not as something else that we are not. True freedom comes only with obedience, and glory, paradoxically, comes through suffering. Now, the big thing that we see in St. Paul with regard to the Spirit is the sense of holiness that he finds in people. Remember, the Hebrew word kadosh, which means holy, really means special, separated, different, separate from the ordinary. And this is just how people are who are filled with the Spirit. There is an enthusiasm in the community of people filled by the Spirit. There's a sharing of talent that is as charismatic as the gifts the people have been given. Like when a family gathering and someone just breaks into song, and it's really good, well, at least for the moment, or at least in the situation, it's really special. Or when that solemn hush and the deep feeling happens when if we stop to say a prayer before we eat together. This special feeling is actually the heightened awareness of the presence of God, the God whom we know and love, to whom we pray often, but it suddenly breaks into our routine and makes a special time, if only for a few moments. For St. Paul says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Okay, let's sum this point up now. We can say three important things about the Spirit as St. Paul sees it. First of all, God's own Spirit is fully revealed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, his life too reveals what God is like, but the very depth of God is revealed in that ultimate self-giving that we see in Jesus, and the resurrection, of course, which is the power over death. Death can hold him no more. Second point, God's Spirit and our spirit are united in a new and permanent way in Christ. And I like to call that, with the energy of, call it a spiration, that we are spirating together. God's own spirit and my own spirit are spirating together, united in a new and permanent way. Thirdly and lastly, the Spirit builds a fellowship horizontally with other believers, which makes us adopted children of God. And if I'm an adopted child of God and you're an adopted child of God, then we're all brothers and sisters and members of the body of Christ, God's Christ's very presence here on earth. In this way now, we can begin to understand how the ultimate power of the universe, that is, how God is made present to each one of us by the gift that Christ brought. And that love is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It is God's will for us to share intimately in God's very own life. We receive salvation from our incompleteness, from God's Son, the forgiveness of our sin, and then the benefit, all the benefit of this intimate relationship of our own spirit to the very Spirit of God, all culminating on the last day when the Lord comes again, that we will fully participate in the resurrection that Jesus himself did. This is Brother Elliot Maloney. Thanks for listening in today. See you again on New Testament Topics with Brother Elliot.